announcement, he hesitated to list not only the names, but even the, I think, probably the places where everyone is from. And so we do have a fair representation across the United States of folks that are with us this morning. So appreciate your attendance very, very much. We pray for your safe journey as you make your way. Not only we're thankful for your safe journey here, but as you make your way home, we bid you Godspeed. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. And with the guests we have, I ask my brethren many times to please share if those would like to receive the outline or follow along with me. The title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us. Adil lifts part of the text out. Would do it with your might. Do it with your might. Verse 9. In its entirety, says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work, no device, no knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Now, put in your notes at least 5 questions, kind of help us analyze the text, at least to get us started through the lesson. Number 1, we just note who is the subject, and that's you and me. Whatever your hand finds to do. So it's your, it's I, it's me, my, the individuals. When I put in your notes, take it personally. You know, no one's exempt. It's everyone who's alive. It's all of us here today. You know, sometimes people wonder, Brian, who are you preaching to? Well, today it's everyone here. All that are in the audience, take it personally. The lesson today. Second, the subject. Whatever your hand finds to do. Now, by definition, that's anything. All the things that we would do. No matter what type or degree or kind or quality of the thing that we are to do. It's any task, any activity, all that we do in our course of daily living. Whatever we have to do. There's certainly a lot to do in daily living. People are always talking about their schedules. Usually they say hectic schedules, busy. Paul adds to the definition the word faithful in whatever we do. He said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it's required in stewards, our stewardship, that which we're doing, that a man be found faithful. So whatever our hand finds to do, our stewardship, our work, our activity, we're to be faithful in that endeavor. Faithful means that we're to be dependable. Someone describes you as faithful, it means you are described as being reliable. That you're constant. You're resolute. You're dutiful. You tend to duty. You're steward. Whatever your hand finds to do. Then number 3. You and I, or whatever we find to do, we do it with all our might. So I put by definition in your notes, use the talent, the ability, the effort that you have. You do your best. You give it the gusto that you have. You use your strength. That's all we can ask. Paul described it this way in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. For if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted. In other words, it's okay. This is all right. According to what one has, and not according to what he has not. You see, you and I are to do what we can. And there's no expectation of us to do what others can do. That's the text. Whatever And that's not the expectation. The obligation is on me. And again, take it personally. I need to give it the gusto. Remember that gasoline commercial? Exxon gasoline, decades ago. To get the best out of your car, put the best into it. And in that commercial, it was Exxon. But if you want the best out of that activity, then put your best into it. If you want to get the best out of that task, put the best into it. If you want to get the best out of that study, then put the best into it. That's what he's saying. And it's interesting, too, and I didn't put this in your notes. The text is not concerned with the outcome. The text says absolutely nothing about the result. It says nothing about the finished product. The concern of the text is your gusto, or you, what you put into the task, without the consideration of the outcome. The text, Solomon in his wisdom, is saying, this is what I want you to do. Give it all your might. That's what he's saying. When I was teaching students in San Diego Unified School District in special education, I had the moderate, severe students, severely handicapped, credentialed. When I was teaching them, or had that special day class, many times, pretty much all the time, success was measured by effort or trying or the number of attempts or how many times that student could stick to the task for so many minutes. And then that would be measured over a course of time. And then that goal or that objective might be increased if the objective was that student will stay on a task for 5 minutes. Now let's see if they'll stay 10 minutes. With no, we're not concerned with the result or the finished product. Will they keep attempting and will they keep trying? So I had that poster on my wall. I'm going to put that one in your notes. Yeah. I had a poster on my wall that says the definition of triumph. You've probably heard this one before, but it's try. There's a little oomph behind it. Triumph. I had another poster on my wall. It wasn't so much for my students. I think it was more for my classroom aides. It said, when you can't change the circumstances, change your attitude. That's the way it is in your life and mine. You give it the best. You give it the best. God may not always be able to change the situation or the circumstance of my life, but I can change my attitude and keep trying to give it my best. And that's all that can be asked of us. There was an old saying in sales, because before I became a school teacher, I was in sales. Remember Mark Pierce, I've mentioned him a couple of times, but one of my favorite sales managers. But he'd put our salespeople together and he'd say sometimes, you know, folks, some people are not willing to pay the price for success, but they'll pay the price for failure. Meaning they won't put in the effort. You'll pay the price for failure because you won't give it your best. You're not willing to pay the price for success to get the best out of it. I saw this article, so I retyped it. The article is titled Anyway. People are often unreasonable, illogical, self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of self-ulterior motives. But be kind anyway. If you're successful, you may win false friends and true enemies. But succeed anyway. If you're honest, others may cheat you, but be forthright anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness. Others may be jealous. But be joyous anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. People really need help, but they may not appreciate it. But help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it will not be enough to give your best anyway. And that's the lesson. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. So number four is when. When should we do whatever our hand finds to do? So Solomon answers the question right in the text in verse 13. While we toil under the sun. But also Solomon introduced his book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 1, verse 2. What profit has a man from all of his labor? In other words, those things that we do, in which he toils under the sun. See, we have the work that we have to do it while we're here. Because we're a people who die. When we leave this life, we leave our work here. So Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. We have to do it here. Number five is why. Why would I want to do all this? Why would I want to give it my heart and my might to all those things that my hand finds to do? And why do I want to do it now and do it here? And Solomon answers the question, for there is no work in the grave where you're going. No. No work. Our might toward our task is while we're on earth, while we're alive. There's no, he adds some information, there's no device in the grave where we're going. Meaning after this life, there's no means to escape coming judgment. No knowledge. There's no information to be gained to change our plight in the grave where we're going. There's no wisdom. We cannot devise anything to change or overthrow God's plan in the grave where we're going. Hebrew writer said, it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. So the work that we have to do here. While we're here. Then I just listed some additional motivations for you to think about this. Again, why do we want to do it with all our might? Also, I listed these at the last. Because someone will say to you and me, nobody else is getting their best. Why should I? And they look around and say, well, if they can get away with it, why can't I? And they're going to find or look for an excuse to not give their best. How do you answer someone like that? Or what do you want to say to them? We don't want them to discourage you and me. So I think anytime we say to a person, you know what, you ought to do something, there should be a rationale behind it. If I say to you, you ought to give it all your might, you know, I need to give you good reason for such an admonition. So in the last, I think number one, in Romans 14, verse 12, says each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Well, there's a reason. In employment, I'm going to have to answer to my boss or maybe my fellow workers, but I'm going to answer to God ultimately. Someone said more people would do their best if they had to put their names on the products they produce. Well, your name is on your life and your work. You're putting your name on it. So do your best. Second, that's all you can do. That's all you do. Just do your best. And that's all I'm asking of others, or even as parents to children, or to teachers to students. I just want you to do your best. In a sense, I'm concerned with the final product or the outcome, but I'm more concerned, will you give it your best? Put the effort into it. That's all you can do. Number three, Because the alternative of not doing your best is doing less than your best. Uh-oh. See, you're turning in work that even you know is not up to standard. And you have to live with the thought of knowing that you could have done better. Oh, my. But you also may develop a pattern or a habit of doing less than your best. And that's why I want to encourage you in this lesson, as Solomon said, whatever it is that your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. Because I don't want you to develop a pattern or a habit of life of giving less than your best. Put doing your best into practice. You ever heard the expression, practice makes perfect? That's wrong. Because if you're practicing incorrectly, and you just keep practicing that thing incorrectly, it's not going to make it perfect. Practice makes permanent. If you're practicing correctly, it'll make it perfect and permanent. Practice makes permanent. So practice your best so it becomes permanent. Number four, it's a reward within itself. It's going to bring you happiness knowing that you've given it your best. Going to give you peace of mind. I tried my best. It'll give you contentment, a good feeling in knowing you put forth your best effort for God. And you will know that you've used all your might even if others did not. You will know. Do your best knowing that others care about you. I didn't put that one in your notes. Do your best knowing that others care about you. Knowing that God cares. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care on Him. He cares. He cares for you. There's a heavenly host that cares. Your family cares. When you make it, they admonish and encourage and exhort you to just do your best. Your friends care. Your work associates care. That you give it your best, whatever it is. People care. Also, the last one I want to share, doing your best will have an influence on others. For them to go and do the same. You have influence on others. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, no one lives to themselves and no one dies to themselves. You can't go through life saying, you know, it's my life. It's not, I'm not, what I'm doing is not going to hurt anybody else. It's not going to affect anybody else. Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will. The way that you live your life, the way that you attend to the task, has an effect on others. You can't just say, it's my life, I'll do with it what I want to, it's not going to hurt anybody else. Oh yeah, it did hurt somebody else. Because people care. People care. So Solomon gives the admonition. He says at the beginning of your notes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Do it now. Concerning salvation, the Bible has this to say in Hebrews 3, verse 15, it says, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now. While we're alive, while we're here. Now, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. So that's the invitation we extend to you. Not only doing your best and giving your best in life, physically, the task, but giving your best to God. Give it your best. So we extend extendeth invitation, and whosoever will may come. As far as the Great Commission that Jesus gave, when he sends his disciples out in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, says, you go everywhere, all the world, and you preach that gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that's what I'm concerned about today. Giving your best to God. Believe and be baptized. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. And if you've heard the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his own son, and then second, you believe that. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. You need to believe. And then Jesus also said to repent, part of that process in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. And then we want to make our confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And as Philip did with the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, when he preached unto him, Jesus, Ethiopian said, here's water. Is anything hindering me or stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. They both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. And he came up out of the water rejoicing. So that's the invitation we extend to you. You can obey that invitation anytime, any day, any hour. But why not now, while we're here, to rejoice with you in that decision? So if that's your resolve, if that's your desire to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning. You just simply need to come and let that request be known. So let's stand together.